Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
That's how we get ready to roll into the holidays around here as we take you up to it. The day before, here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson, still rocking with us all week long. And Amber, it feels like as we've gone along, this is like the slow arc of holiday radio, where as we get closer and closer to the end of the week and the big day here, I can slowly feel myself losing grip on any semblance of control of the show.
Well, I give you a lot of credit for being here, because at this point, the day before, are you the only lone remaining mainstay radio host who is bothering to show up to work? Because I feel like everybody else is getting filled in for. Obviously, I've been filling in for Chris all week, so he decided to take the whole week off. You have decided to last with us up until the day before. You deserve a lot of credit for that. We are at the point, I think, in the calendar where I feel pretty officially confident the bosses are no longer listening. So if you totally lose control, I think it's okay.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if they're ever listening, but I mean, they're definitely not listening right now. And I don't know. I think you're right now. Like, Sarah Spain would be the only one. Is Sarah in tonight? All right, so Sarah's also holding it down tonight. But I have been alerted that not even Freddie Coleman, the Godfather, which quite honestly, if anyone should be off all week, it's Godfather himself, Freddie Coleman here. The last bastion of American freedom, the voice of a generation, the golden pipes alongside Ian Fitzsimmons on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, 9 to 1 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Monday through Friday. Absolute savage. So, yeah. Enjoying the well-earned time off there. We are going to be here holding it down like we have been from 3 to 7 Eastern, Monday through Friday, here all week with Amber Wilson. And we have reached, I think, the pinnacle of our week of Christmas lists, Amber, because we have gone through holiday traditions. We have gone through holiday snacks, the songs. We're in the big one. I didn't know. I learned this watching Sports Nation today. Today is National Christmas Movie Marathon Day.
Really? What does that mean? That this is the day that all the networks just fire up all the Christmas movies because they're void of content?
I think so, more or less. Like, I don't know what it's called now. It used to be ABC Family. I think it's Freeform. It might still be Freeform now, where they would just fire up the 25 days of Christmas and throw Elf on there a million times. Like, we've officially arrived there now.
It's a good time of year. We know that. And no matter how you feel about movies, everyone, I think, loves a good Christmas movie. And then, of course, there's the age-old debate, what constitutes a Christmas movie? I have a feeling that might make an appearance on today's show.
It might. We will have our top five Christmas movies, courtesy of myself and Amber here. And I think the next evolution in what you just described about a movie called Die Hard and its role in the holiday season. We will get to all of that. We want to hear from you as we go along today. Be a part of Canty and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football bowl season is here, and the fans are hyped, especially the ones at Rutgers. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. It says now it's Rutgers will play Wake Forest in the Gator Bowl upcoming here as bowl season starts to feel the heat from COVID. But Amber, before we get to anything this weekend, the fun with bowl season, we are back to having NFL football on a weeknight. We had our one-day hiatus on Wednesday. After a Monday night and Tuesday night doubleheader, we are back like we never left for Thursday night football, and the Titans are getting decimated by COVID-19, and we'll roll into night against the 49ers now shorthanded.
It feels a little problematic for the Titans because already the Titans were, they've lost three out of the last four. Things have gotten rough here for the Titans late in the season. And now, and of course, injury-wise as well, and now they're dealing with COVID on top of that. A lot of teams are dealing with COVID, but this team doesn't need any more adversity at this point in the calendar year, and yet here we are. You know, the offense has been really disappointing, Mike, for the Titans of late. And those turnovers, 13 turnovers in the three losses that I just mentioned out of the last four games. And of course, that win that they got was against the lowly Jaguars. I don't even know if we can count that thing. But the three losses surrounding that win, 13 turnovers, 12 lost turnovers by the offense. That is the most of any team between weeks 11 and 15 this season. And for Tennessee, what that has effectively done is actually erase very good defensive performances, because the defense was not the problem in those games. And now COVID-19 enters this equation. I don't feel good about the Titans tonight, even though generally I like the Titans team. I need it to be a fully healthy team. They already lost Derrick Henry. We know all the chips that have fallen on all the key pieces that Ryan Tannehill has lost around him, including his receivers who've been out for significant periods of time. And now this, it doesn't feel good for me if you're a Titans fan.
No, it certainly doesn't here. We saw the news pop up this afternoon that Kendall Lamb, their offensive tackle, will now be out for tonight in addition to Taylor Lewan and Roger Saffold, who are already out of the lineup here.
And enter Nick Bosa.
Yes. Oh, my God in heaven. Because, yeah, you look on the other side, Amber, that has been a team that in this six-game, this six-week stretch where we've seen the Niners do the bulk of their winning here, that defense has played in many ways, whether it is sacks, I believe they've got 18 in the last 6 weeks, or pass rush win rate, the metric here at ESPN, showing how quickly D linemen defeat blocks in under 2.5 seconds. They've been top five in the league in that as well in this stretch here. So it's certainly a bad matchup on that front, but Amber, as we look at the 49ers side of this, because I think this is really who it's about tonight, right? The Titans are limping into this postseason. They've got the season sweep against the Indianapolis Colts in that division, so it's likely going to be hard for the Colts to overtake them down the stretch, but for the Niners on the other side, they're trying to establish themselves as yet another playoff-worthy team in that NFC West that seems to have three with them, the Cardinals, and the Los Angeles Rams. So is there anything left that we need to see from this 49ers unit? Because they seem to have settled into the identity that we've seen and really just been aided by health during this stretch as much as anything else.
Well, health is going to matter. I mean, we're going to end up talking a whole lot about health today and as we enter these playoffs. And then I think, frankly, throughout the playoffs, and even a way that maybe we never have in the NFL before, health always matters. But obviously now with the COVID protocols, it's complicating that picture even more with this surge that we've been going through. You're right, the 49ers, mostly healthy, although they have encountered plenty of injuries this season as well. The Elijah Mitchells and Raheem Mosterts and Trey Sermons of the world, right? They have had their fair share as well. And yet the next guy up has actually stepped up for the 49ers. And they were really able to figure this thing out down the stretch. They're doing the winning when the winning matters most. I know it's cliche to say, but the 49ers feel like that team that has really heated up of late. Their positioning may not be as good as the Titans, which you just referenced, but in terms of their momentum, that's certainly the desired team.
It certainly is. And you mentioned some of the injuries they're dealing with. Elijah Mitchell, their stud rookie running back, ruled out for Thursday night football against the Titans after dealing with a knee injury suffered in week 13. But when you look at the offense overall, Amber, we've had a lot of conversation, mostly now, thankfully, through the lens of Deebo Samuel. What he has done as a wide receiver, turned top flight rusher for them. We know he's leading the team in rushing touchdowns this season, something that hasn't happened in a long time, if ever, for a wide receiver over the course of a whole season. If you look at the last 6 weeks, again, where they've really turned the corner and become this top team, if you look at expected points added, so how well is this offense performing above what we expect of them? The top three teams in the NFL for the last 6 weeks, the Green Bay Packers at number one, the Kansas City Chiefs at number two, and the San Francisco 49ers at number three here. Nick Wagner, our ESPN Niners reporter, was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning and talked about the guy at the center of all that, Jimmy Garoppolo, and how he's dealt with the QB situation for the Niners this season.
I think when you look at it, he's probably handled it about as well as could be expected given what the situation is. And I think the Niners did right by him in terms of telling him right up front that he was still going to be the starter and it was going to take something pretty drastic for that to change. And they kind of stuck by that. You know, there were a couple of moments in training camp where, you know, especially at the outset of training camp when Trey Lance looked so good that people were thinking maybe things were going to change that dynamic. But Jimmy was the starter all along. That never really wavered. And the only reason it changed in the season was when Jimmy had that calf injury early in the season and against Seattle, I believe that was week four, and then Trey Lance had to start in week five.
And Amber, that seems to be just it, right? When Jimmy Garoppolo's been healthy, the Niners have been winning football games. The large portion of the desire to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo, in addition to a failure to make the one or two big throws you need to win a Super Bowl as a team, has been just a lack of availability at times. And so if you can get him on the field, if you can get George Kittle on the field consistently, Deebo Samuel, all of these guys on offense, when they're available, they're as dangerous as any team in football and surely as dangerous as any team in the NFC West.
Yeah, and I have no idea what they have in Trey Lance. The problem with Jimmy G is his health, like you said, and then also that base salary of $24.2 million that's coming up in 2022. The Niners don't actually have a ton of leverage. I know we'll probably talk about it later in the show where Bill Barnwell went through several trade scenarios. And there's this concept out there that, of course, they're going to trade away Jimmy G after this season. I do wonder how this has changed things, because certainly that is a very good San Francisco 49ers team. We are seeing it in real time. If Jimmy G can stay on the field, what happens if he gets them to a Super Bowl? Like, we're still trading away Jimmy Garoppolo. I know there's injury issues there. There's injury issues everywhere, though, right now. And I wonder if that sort of will change things for the front office there. And then also, like I said, it's a bit of a difficult market out there because of what he is owed. He may end up staying a San Francisco 49er after all.
He may, but man, we watched that team get ready to all of a sudden put the wheels in motion to get rid of him after he went to a Super Bowl time around. So this is a guy, the writing's on the wall. When they drafted Trey Lance 3 overall, we know what the game's going to be for them going forward. But in the meantime, Jimmy Garoppolo seems like he can do more than enough, we know, to get you back in that spot when this Niners outfit is healthy. Coming up next, though, if we talk about game-changing quarterbacks, that's probably not how we're referring to Mac Jones just yet. Does the young rookie still have more to prove for New England as they get ready to defend their AFC East crown? We'll do that in 30 seconds after this word about Man in the Arena. Join host Gautam Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady's meant to football and the world. Man in the Arena, a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports. It's a companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries. This 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hate, perfection, and fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And stream the docuseries on ESPN Plus. Kanny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And Amber, we get a rematch to, I think, one of the more memorable games of 2021 so far. The Patriots and the Bills going at it in Orchard Park, excuse me. The Buffalo Bills home stadium in a certified windstorm in a game that featured three passing attempts by Mac Jones, the rookie quarterback for the Patriots, and ultimately ended up with New England getting a win in a game full of more obvious run than I can ever remember. That was a full-on 9-on-7 inside run period type of game. So, Amber, looking at the matchup that we're going to get this weekend with Josh Allen, with Mac Jones at quarterback here, is there any more we've got to see or know about either of these guys coming out of this matchup?
I don't think we need to see anything more from either of these quarterbacks. For Mac Jones, he's already a made man in terms of this season. His rookie season, he's already done enough. We all feel really good about what we've seen from him as a rookie. Now, that doesn't mean that he's necessarily going to completely pan out and be amazing in the NFL, and we're going to forget about the history there with Tom Brady. That all remains to be seen, and of course, this narrative could change. He's done enough this season, though. He has absolutely done enough this season. As of right now, he is a made man. It doesn't matter. He could go, I think, just completely cough it up like he did against the Colts. He could cough it up a couple times tonight against the Bills. I don't think that narrative surrounds. We're not going to all of a sudden think Mac Jones is a problem. We're just going to think, hey, he's a rookie. And we did see that in that first half against the Colts, where he finally had that red zone interception and then coughed it up at the opening of the third deep in the Patriots' own territory. I mean, we saw the problems there. We saw some cracks. He is a rookie. We do have to keep that in mind. He's a made man. Josh Allen also, I think likewise, frankly, is a made man with obviously a lot more experience under his belt. I mean, you're talking about a quarterback who was in the MVP race last season. I think everybody thinks Josh Allen is a great quarterback, and we feel pretty confident about that. I don't know if anything would change in this particular game to change that narrative. Nevertheless, if you made me choose a quarterback that this game game's more important for. It's, I think, more important overall for Josh Allen because that's supposed to be their division. Like, he was supposed to come in and own that division this season, and I think the Bills have underperformed in the minds of a lot of us.
Yeah, I would definitely agree on that. We know that all doesn't reflect on Josh Allen, right? But it's become abundantly clear, Amber, in the way they built this team and a quarterback that they paid handsomely this offseason. When we stared at Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, and him, the Bills blinked first and gave him that money because they trusted the trajectory they'd seen from their quarterback since they drafted him. But now this year was about taking that next step, and when we saw them get bullied the way that they did at home in that game, where, yeah, Josh Allen still was out there throwing in a way New England wasn't letting Mac Jones, we saw the faith they had in him, but we're also reminded maybe a week later when they played Tampa, you're only going to go as far as Josh goes. And so that's, I think, the maybe unfair next step on all of this, but this has to be kind of like what we've seen from Lamar Jackson, where we understand the rest of that team has not performed up to what we expected, maybe outside of the defensive secondary when it was fully healthy, and it's going to be on him to get this thing over the finish line, to get them over this Patriots boogeyman if anyone's going to do it.
I mean, this is the moment, like you said. This game, it is an unbelievably important game, and the Patriots would slip to second place in the AFC East with a loss. Buffalo would control that division. Like, this is Josh Allen's moment to take back that division and do essentially what I think we all expected that the Bills would do this season. If I asked you at the beginning of the season, you would have had them winning this division, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of people, I mean, this was a bona fide Super Bowl contender at the beginning of the season, and still technically is, but we've again seen this devolve into way different styles, even in that division so far.
And moving forward, both of these teams actually have an easy schedule moving forward where the Patriots would see the Jags. And then, unfortunately, they're going to lose to my Miami Dolphins. But the Bills, they also finish with Atlanta and the Jets. So the Bills will be favored in both of these those games, of course. So it is this week that everything rides on. And I do think that the Bills get it together this week. I understand what happened last time we saw these teams play. You mentioned the win factor. That's actually not going to be a factor at Gillette on Sunday at 1 p.m. And also, just because we saw it before does not mean we're going to see it again. This game's a lot more important. When you saw the recipe there with the Colts. I mean, when you forced Mac Jones to have the ball in his hands, you saw the cracks. I think that the Bills are going to have a better game plan against the Patriots this time.
This is Josh Allen, the Bills starting quarterback, talking about his mindset and facing New England.
We know what's at stake, but we're not trying to make it the biggest game, but it, like you said, it is, because it is the next, and we're not trying to approach it any differently than we would any other week. You know, we're trying to hone in on our skills, figure out a game plan, and figure out what we can do to best execute that game plan.
Blah, 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 quarterback speak. Quarterback
yes,
speak.
Straight talk wireless. No contract, no compromise from Josh
There's
Allen.
Nothing straight about that talk.
Not at all. But Amber, I will say this. This is the reason to me this feels a little more important than normal is you're going to get away from the excuses that you had last game. But what we saw was the Patriots, in the most obvious scenario possible, everyone in the stadium knows what you're going to do, were able to go out there and do it. Now, I won't act like it was every down where they went out there and whooped their you-know-what, but they did it enough to go and get the win in that game where they let their quarterback throw the ball three times. The Patriots are going to have more options, too. But we saw in the last game that New England played against Indianapolis, they don't have the weapons to stress you downfield in the way that the Bills do. This is going to be the last year I think you can count on Mac Jones going out and being the guy that the Patriots just try and make sure don't lose the game, right? That year one to year two development is always such a big part of quarterback development. This feels like Buffalo's best chance to go out and reassert themselves at the top of this, because I think this conversation gets a lot harder before it gets easier for them next season and beyond.
Oh, this will definitely be on the Bills to take away that run game and do exactly what the Colts did in forcing Mac Jones to try to air it out. And what I have learned about Mac Jones, I said he was a made man. That's why he's only a made man for now. That certainly, once we go into his sophomore year and teams figure out this recipe, if he can't overcome that, then all of a sudden we're going to have a different conversation about Mac Jones. Everybody's very high on him right now. What I've learned about Mac Jones this season is he's certainly competent as a game manager. I do know that, right? And what else I've learned is that they have a pretty good coaching staff there in New England, and they know how to set their guy up for success, and they know the limitations of a rookie. He walked into a good situation there in New England. I don't know what he looks like if he's under center in Jacksonville. I'm not confident that necessarily he looks any better than Trevor Lawrence, and that's been disastrous so far. But certainly Mac Jones is in a good situation with a good coaching staff who knows how to utilize him properly, but defenses might figure it out.
They might. They might absolutely figure that out, or they might be able to evolve this to the next step. That's always the difficulty in trying to game this. But what we've seen is that Buffalo team that showed up last year that had everyone feeling like they might be ready to turn the page saw the cavalry come back for New England. We saw the way Bill Belichick and them attacked this offseason. So we know what mode they're in right now. And if they think they've got the guy to build around for the future, that becomes a lot tougher road to toe for the Bills, for the Dolphins, for everyone else that thought they might be back in the conversation in the AFC East. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It is holiday week around here. We are nothing but shameless as we inch towards the home stretch here. So tell us what you want Santa to bring your team for the new year. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up next, can the Baltimore Ravens beat the Cincinnati Bengals with Tyler Huntley at quarterback here on ESPN Radio?
Hey, this is Alan Hahn.
And Bart Scott from the Bart and Hahn Show.
Wishing you a happy holiday season.
From all of us at ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Ian Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Mike Golick Jr. and Amber Wilson. We will get to, listen, in the good news vein for Notre Dame in 2021 towards the end of the year, getting a great hire here, solid recruiting class. Irish fans, get pumped. Ian Book getting his first career start for the New Orleans Saints potentially this weekend. Now, it sucks because it's probably because Taysom Hill has COVID, but, you know, we don't ask how we get to these situations. We don't get to choose our path.
You're allowed to celebrate the result. You're just not allowed to celebrate the path that got you there.
Listen, my first real playing time in college, Amber, came when one of my best friends and roommates essentially broke his foot. He had a Liz Frank injury at the beginning of the Wake Forest game, our true senior year. And then I ended up going on to start the last 17 games of my career, most of them next to him. But again, we don't get to choose. I wasn't happy that Braxton went down. It just worked.
It just worked out for you.
Exactly. Love you, Brax. Glad he's doing well right now. He's got a bunch of kids. He's doing great. So no worries there. We will get to Ian Book's upcoming start with the New Orleans Saints and some of the problems they face down the stretch of this season, one of which will not be their schedule. But more on that in a little bit. Amber, as we look ahead towards this weekend, one of the big question marks is going to be Lamar Jackson's health. The Ravens quarterback who missed their last game, where Tyler Huntley went and starred against the Green Bay Packers, they ultimately end up losing by one, but gaining a lot of respect for the backup out of Utah in his place. We're not sure what the status is going to be. He hasn't practiced yet this week, but Amber, did you see enough last weekend where you think that they can win without him?
People are really excited about Tyler Huntley, right? I mean, in two career starts, Huntley has thrown for 434 yards, produced four total touchdowns. That was two passing, two rushing. He's the first quarterback, Mike, in NFL history to pass for at least 200 yards, complete at least 70% of his passes, and rush for at least 40 yards in each of the first two starts of his career. Those numbers sound unbelievable. If I give you those in a vacuum, you'd say, heck yeah, they have a chance of winning this game, regardless of the health of Lamar Jackson or the availability of Lamar Jackson coming off of that sprained ankle. I do think Huntley has the goods. Those numbers sound really good when it's a two-game sample size, right? Like, not to take anything away from what Tyler Huntley has done, but those numbers are easier to pull it up when you only have to put them up every once in a while. However, the problem for Tyler, if he is under center for the Ravens, is that the Ravens aren't healthy around him. Like, not only are they potentially missing Lamar, they've got 11 players on their 53 on the reserve COVID-19 list. The Cincinnati Bengals, they have one. Their starting quarterback. That cornerback, that's it. Right? This Bengals team is arguably the healthiest team in the league. And we keep saying it. Health right now matters maybe more than it ever has before. That's the problem that the Ravens are going to run into, no matter who's under center. Let's not forget the last time these teams met up, that Bengals team threw all over them. I mean, it was ugly, and that's before the Ravens were decimated.
Yeah, that was a full-on toe-tagging there. 41-17 win for the Bengals when they met earlier this season. You mentioned their health. We heard this gem of a quote from Joe Burrow, the Bengals starting quarterback, on why they have managed to be so successful in the wake of this outbreak.
You know, we're doing a great job with our COVID protocols. Fortunately, there's not a ton to do in Cincinnati, so it's not, you know, nobody's going out to clubs and bars and getting COVID every weekend. But we've been healthy.
I wonder how that's gone over in the home front, because, like, we deal with this all the time, certainly, Amber, like, when you see it at the national level. Anytime you say anything about a city, you get absolutely dragged for it, and they come for you in here. But, like, everyone in Cincinnati loves Joe Burrow, and they also probably have to have some understanding that this is a win for them right now. So this might be, like, the smiling mask over the crying face going on right here, where they've just got to kind of take their medicine because they know this is a net positive for them.
I mean, if there was ever a time, and I've never been to Cincinnati, so this is not my own opinion, but if there was ever a time to celebrate being boring, because it sounds like y'all might be a little bored, if there was ever a time for that to be a great thing, global pandemic.
Right.
That's the top. Like, this is Cincinnati's time. You know, we know what happened with the exodus of New York City at the beginning of this pandemic. It's too much fun. Too much excitement, right? I understand people are going back. Nevertheless, too much fun, too much excitement. Everyone started fleeing these big cities. Cincinnati, probably no one's fleeing Cincinnati, right? They're hunkered down at home where maybe, apparently, according to Joe Burrow, they would be anyway. So they're going out to a nice, calm dinner. They're coming back home. Not many clubs to go to after dinner, apparently. So I think that typically what he's saying might not go over well in your hometown or your home city now as an athlete. This is the time for him to say it, because they should revel in that moment of being less dangerous for their team with less to do and less opportunity, apparently, to catch COVID because of it.
Listen, I love Cincinnati. I've been there plenty. I got family that lives out there. He's 100% right in that assessment, and that's okay. I live in Connecticut. Like, it's boring as hell out here, and it's been great for the pandemic because it has kept us naturally safe. These people do generally follow rules well out here. These are things that I have celebrated. I don't have a lot of pride in Connecticut, but I have through the course of how we've responded in the wake of these uncertain times. So, Joe Burrow, it's okay in that spot. And Amber, it's really okay because Joe Burrow is still in that quarterback right now. I understand their offensive line is still the weak point of this outfit, but you mentioned the way they were able to throw all over the Ravens, who now have one of the most, if not the most, depleted secondaries in all of football going up against a passing attack with not only, like, Ja'Marr Chase, we talked about a lot as, you know, the offensive rookie of the year, what he's done coming in, picking him over Penei Sewell, all these things. T. Higgins has been balling this year at wide receiver for them. Tyler Boyd will step up and make a big play every once in a while. Joe Mixon's been outstanding. Like, offensive skill-wise, you can't get much better for where they are, especially as a youth movement on that team. And like you mentioned, when they're all available to you going up against what the Ravens have on the other side tonight, you're going to have to pray for one of those otherworldly performances if Tyler Huntley's going to be the dude out there again.
If everyone was healthy on both of these teams, absolutely, I would favor Baltimore. But when Burrow threw for 416 yards and three touchdowns against them in their last matchup, and now, like you mentioned, that Ravens D has been absolutely decimated by COVID. I mean, they're missing from COVID-19. They're missing multiple safeties, a D-tack, multiple linebackers, their cornerbacks. I mean, they are missing so many key pieces on that Ravens defense. I know they're hopeful that they'll get back Lamar Jackson. I just frankly am not sure it's going to matter who's under center tonight. I feel like that Bengals team is going to have its day again, once again, against this Baltimore team, and largely because of the protocols.
Largely. Like, we know, we said that is going to be the overwhelming factor down the stretch here. It has us all wishing for more. It is the holiday season. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We asked, very originally, probably the first show to ever do this, what you want Santa to bring your team this holiday season. Let's go to Carlos in Idaho. Carlos, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. What's your Christmas wish?
Well, I know this is probably a fantasy, but I think with Seattle's situation, if they're going to trade Russell Wilson, I'd like to see them get at least three first-round picks for, or something like that for him. But I think a guy that would make a great quarterback in Seattle's Gardner Minshew. He did a decent job down in Jacksonville, and also I'm a kind of a biased. I'm from Washington State originally, but he's a decent quarterback, and ultimately Russell Wilson's going to make a different move.
I agree. We appreciate the call. I think you're right. We will get to, if you're looking for what could the haul possibly be, our ESPN writer Bill Barnwell put together a great piece on ESPN.com outlining some of those possibilities here. But bringing Gardner Minshew back home to the Pacific Northwest was not something I had in mind. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. More of your Christmas wishes for your sports team. But coming up next, we also got to take a look at the first look at Ian Book under center. That all rhymed next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kane Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golick Jr., Amber Wilson filling in with us all week. And we are absolutely Thanos.gif veins coursing with Christmas cheer towards the end of this one, Amber. It has been a week where I think we've turned into borderline Christmas, like XM Holly radio on this show.
There are several times where if you tuned in perfectly when we were coming back from a break, you might have been very confused and wonder if you put the dial on the wrong thing, and I'm here for it.
Yes, absolutely, 100% every step of the way. Now, coming up here in just a couple of minutes, I do want to get into what we might see in New Orleans this weekend. Former Notre Dame quarterback, the all-time leader in passing yards, Ian Book, the fourth-round draft pick for the Saints, may finally get his first start here. It looks like Taysom Hill is going to be out on the COVID-19 list, along with Trevor Siemian, their backup here. This has, I think, a lot larger ramifications for the shifting of power around quarterbacks and veteran quarterbacks in the NFL as we head to this offseason. We'll get to that, but first, we have to get to some defense, because for anyone that missed it, Joe Burrow, when talking about Cincinnati and the Bengals' ability to successfully navigate COVID-19, said this.
You know, we're doing a great job with our COVID protocols. Fortunately, there's not a ton to do in Cincinnati, so it's not, you know, nobody's going out to clubs and bars and getting COVID every weekend. But we've been healthy.
And we wondered how that would play in Cincinnati. And so 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bob in Cincinnati would like to defend his city. Bob, what's going on?
Hey, I got a little comment about Cincinnati. I lived there for 13 years. Mark Twain, the famous author, said, if the world should ever come to an end, I would like to be in Cincinnati. The reason being, everything there happened 10 years later.
Wow. Listen,
so I don't know if Bob was really defending Cincinnati there or playing into exactly what Joe Burrow said about
What are you talking
Cincinnati?
About? Mark Twain got after it in the club. Mark Bottle Service Twain?
I mean, nothing says, you're right, nothing says models and bottles like Mark Twain.
Mark Twain glow sticks collision course. You know he was on that, I have no doubt. So I don't know if Bob accomplished his goal or not of defending Cincinnati, but we appreciate his call. Mark Twain will be doing a reading at Live before the semifinal down at the Orange Bowl. 888-SAY-ESPN. We've also been asking for your Christmas wishes for your favorite team. Let's go to Dennis in Hawaii. Dennis, you're on Canny and Golick Jr. What's your wish?
Can you hear me?
Oh, we got you.
So what I would like for Christmas is a contract extension for Aaron Rodgers. And if that's impossible, well, then I would like a trade. And I have two doozies that no one has said anything about. Trade 1B, Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf to Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. Seattle can throw in a third-round pick. But a better trade, trade 1A, Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams to the 49ers for Trey Lance, Deebo Samuel, and either George Kittle or Nick Bosa.
Who says no? Who says no? We appreciate the call here. I'm going to love the galaxy brain Aaron Rodgers take machine that gets fired up, the trade machine for this offseason, Amber, because while he says that, and a part of it sounds a little ridiculous, there's also parts of it where I could go, all right, I could talk myself into some of that. If you're the 49ers, if you are a, I think, desperate Kyle Shanahan at this point, making sure going into next year, he is fully seen as one of the more valuable coaches in the NFL.
and Jimmy G's a backup at $22 or $23 million in this scenario. I don't know if the numbers exactly work. I like the concept. I'm one who has been saying since this past summer, I think Aaron Rodgers is staying in Green Bay. He likes a lot of attention, though. He's going to let us talk about where he may end up before he lets us know that he's staying right where he is.
Aaron Rodgers, sports talk radio programming god. He will be certainly giving on that front. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want to help give the gift here. Your Christmas wish for your sports team. We'll get to that on the Goodyear Hotline. But coming up next, we mentioned what's at stake for the Saints this weekend, not only on the field, but in the future. Let's take a look and forecast where some of these quarterbacks may end up come this offseason. Next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.